Morning, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Actually, this incredible six chapters has been called by W.O. Carver. He called it the greatest piece of writing in all history. I believe that it is. I believe that there's a lot of, every book moves my heart. Amen. And every book of the Bible should move you as well. Amen. Okay. But there's something special about Ephesians. Written from prison by Paul in Rome, whether it was under house arrest or in the cell, we don't know for sure. But that's needless here and there. We just know it's a prison epistle. And listen carefully now. We know that the first three chapters, they're so vital that you get this into your spirit and into your heart. The first three chapters are doctrinal. They tell us your calling, your position that you have by God's incredible grace through Jesus Christ our Lord, because now we are in Him. Amen? But when we get to chapter 4, we start walking out the wealth of our riches that you find in this great epistle. And it tells us that Paul writes in 4:1 of Ephesians, he says, brethren, he says, I beseech you, therefore, that you walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy. Now that you know who you are in Christ Jesus, the word worthy, as we'll find when we get to chapter 4, is a picture in the Greek of a set of scales and a balancing act, if you will. So on this side, it would be doctrine and application. And what to walk worthy, you must be equal in doctrine and equal in application. So as we study this out, this first great chapter, that is a chapter that almost, I believe, should be memorized in your heart, meditated upon daily. When we saw last week the work of the Father or the selection of the Father in those verses 4 through 6. And you know, we already know He's chosen us. Amen? Okay. Now we're going to go to the selection or the sacrifice of the Son. Jesus paid for the church. God planned the church. Jesus paid for the church through redemption. Amen? And then when we get to verse 13, we'll talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, what He has done in the life of the believer, and how He is divine helper of the church. Remember this. The Bible teaches us, God said, He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, past fact, present reality, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are a blessed, if you are a Christian, you are the most blessed person on this planet. Every spiritual blessing, amen, belongs to you. May I say as we go through these beautiful verses this morning, loved one, listen, embrace them. Know who you are in Christ. Understand, let us really understand the riches of God's grace this morning. And may we just be, man, I mean, we know we're chosen. We know we're adopted. We know that we're blessed. We know that we're seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And we know not only that we have been accepted in the beloved. Amen? But now as we look at the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior to redeem us, I want you to bear witness with the incredible grace of God and claim that for yourself, because you can. It belongs to you. So let's begin this morning with the riches of God's grace, beginning in verse 7. It says, in Him, of course, that's Jesus our Lord, in Him we have what? We have redemption. How? Through His blood, through the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now, in Him, the beloved, the one that God loves, the one that God has accepted, a beautiful name for Jesus, we have now, because we're in Him, not only have we been accepted, but now in Him we have redemption. We have been purchased. The word redemption has several meanings. It means to purchase that which is lost, to set free what has been lost by the payment of a ransom. That's what the word redeems. Now listen, we are not going to be redeemed. We have already been redeemed. Amen? But that's so vital that we get that. It is a past fact again. It is a present reality, and it can never change. Never. If you've been redeemed, you are not going to be unredeemed, if that is even a word, okay? No, never, loved one. There are three Greek words in the New Testament for redemption. The one is found here in verse 7. It means to be purchased by, to set free by a ransom. And then in chapter 1 Corinthians 6:20, where it says, you have been bought at a price. The word bought there means that literally to redeem a slave, to take them out of or out of the marketplace. And then the next one is found in Galatians 3, 13? You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's to take the slave out of the marketplace and to never be sold again and can't be sold again. In other words, you have been completely redeemed, completely purchased. You have been completely set free, whether you believe it or not. It is a divine fact from heaven. Amen? You have been bought, and you have been bought at a price. That's exactly what that means. The Bible tells us in Matthew 20:28, what did Jesus say? He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to give his life, to give his life a ransom for many. That's for you and me. So the price of our redemption, believer, listen, is the blood of God. You ever think of it that way? It's the blood of God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In him, it says, we have redemption through his blood. Every time you read that, if you should pause. And matter of fact, it ought to be read on our knees. You should pause and deeply reflect that verse, loved one, because since we have been accepted in the beloved, and only because of that, Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. Amen. He redeemed us from a life of slavery, from a life of bondage. He gave his life as a ransom. I hear it all the time sometimes from people, unbelievers. How is it, man, that you're trying to tell me that just one person that was born 2,000 years ago, one man, one life, is a substitute for every human being that has ever lived? That's exactly right. Listen, we have been redeemed. We're not going to be redeemed. We have been redeemed by God's grace right now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, listen carefully, it says, for you know the grace, the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? That you, through Jesus' poverty, might become rich. What does that mean? It means that Jesus left the throne room. He left the splendor of heaven for the squalor on this filthy, filthy planet that we live on. And Jesus, the one who was rich, who created everything, who owns everything, amen, who has all power, has all authority in heaven and earth, what did he do? He became poor. That word literally means he made himself nothing. It means so poor. When Jesus made himself poor, it means he had absolutely nothing left to give. Why? That through his poverty, when he came to this planet to make you, loved one, rich, that I'm not talking about $1 million right now. We are rich. We're the richest people on this planet. Amen? Oh, listen, the Son of God had to become the Son of Man. He had to be born of a virgin. He had to be despised and hated and a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He had to come to this earth and live a perfect, sinless life and never sin, because there's no sin in him, in order to redeem you. I think the church today thinks too lightly of their sin, the cost of sin. It was a violent death that the Lord endured for you and for me. He suffered the horror of being separated from God the Father on the cross when the darkness came, remember? And not only that, he suffered the punishment. He was delivered into the hands of sinful men, and you know what they did to him. But he did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for the world. And the whole world, every sin that has ever been sinned, every sin that has ever been committed from every person from the time of Adam to the end of time, every sin, past, present, future, was laid upon our Savior. That's unbelievable. The spotless, sinless, pure Son of the living God experienced the feeling of sin for the very first time ever. He felt every sin, every adultery, every fornication, every lie. He bore the sin of the world. Why? To redeem us. That's the price that Jesus paid. Now, that's why I say, when we come to verse 7, sometimes we should pause and we should ponder and we should celebrate all that Jesus Christ did for us through the great love of God. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed, you were not bought, you were not purchased with incorruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were redeemed, you were bought with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without wrinkle. Amen? Man, that's what Jesus did for us. Listen, he redeemed us, it says there, from a vain life. You know what that really means? When you were purchased, the life before you were living, you might have thought it was a great life, I don't know, but it was an empty life. Any life apart from Christ is an empty, vain, striving, searching life. Living only for self, because they can live for no other. But in Christ, oh man, he redeemed us from a life of emptiness. We now have, through redemption, we really have life. And we have that kind of life more abundantly. Amen? Now, the Bible tells us in Acts 20:28, when Paul was with the elders there, he was saying goodbye. And he was weeping, remember, and crying. And he challenged them and said, you better guard the church, man, that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of. Because remember, people, savage wolves are going to come in. And he said, you guard the church that God purchased with his own blood. See, the church doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. I did not purchase the church. America did not purchase the church. Jesus purchased the church, and the buyer has the right to the possession he purchased. Does that make sense? We are his. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And listen, with such a price paid for the church, the local and the global church, the corporate church, I think it breaks the heart of God when he sees the ones he purchased abuse one another. Lie one to another. We should never hurt one another. Loved one, you bet we need a higher view, not a lower view of who we are in Christ Jesus. Boy, the incredible riches of God's grace. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:12, it says, not by the blood of bull and goats. He didn't enter heaven that way. Blood of the bull and goats, sacrifice after sacrifice, will never take away sin. But it says, with his own blood. Jesus, when he ascended, he with his own blood, he entered into heaven for us, obtaining what? Thank you. Eternal redemption. Loved one, listen to me. You have been, by the life of Jesus Christ, by the ransom of Jesus Christ, you have been eternally redeemed. That word is forever and ever and ever and ever, eternally redeemed, bought, purchased, and you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Do you understand the incredible riches of his grace? It says, in him we have redemption through his blood. And look at this next one. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So redemption means that Jesus not only paid a ransom, that he not only entered heaven for us and obtained that eternal redemption, but it also means, redemption means that our sins are really forgiven. They're totally forgiven, loved one. Listen, The Bible tells us in Titus 2:14, Jesus, who gave himself for us, that he, not you, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify or cleanse for himself his own special people. Revelation 1:5, it says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, the riches of his grace. Now listen, forgiveness means this to the believer. It means, that word means, the complete removal of your all of your sin. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. We do sin. We don't want to, but when we do, we run to the throne of grace and we call out to the Lord who is faithful, and the blood of Jesus then cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? I'm talking about, God's talking about your position right now in Christ, seated in the heavenlies. You're seated with him. Forgiveness means that you have been completely forgiven, the removal of sin. It means, forgiveness means that sin has been carried away. It means that sin has been sent away. If you studied out, remember the old covenant. You remember when the high priest Aaron, when he went into once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high holy day, the only day that the children of Israel fasted, by the way, and he would go in and he would make sacrifice for himself, and he would take the blood, sprinkle it all over the altar and so forth, and he would have two goats. Remember that? One goat was killed. That was the blood that was shed. But one goat was not. He remained alive. And what did he do? Aaron would walk over to that one goat, and he would lay his hands upon the goat and confess the sins, iniquities, and transgressions of Israel. He would give it to a just man, and that man would take that goat. He would walk out, and the children of Israel who were outside on the Day of Atonement, they would see that man with that goat that Aaron had laid his hands on, confessing all the sins, and he would take him to uninhabited or into the wilderness, and they would never see that goat again. All the sins of Israel were atoned for. They were sent as far as the east is from the west. Are you with me? Do you see what happened? Listen, loved one. Man, I look at all of that and all that God has done. See, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we, like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But listen, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What does that mean when we have complete removal of our sin in the eyes of the living God? It means right now, if we were transported to heaven, there means when we attended, when we stood before the throne of grace, it means there is not one written accusation of sin against you, the believer. That's your position in Christ. Are you with me? Now listen, they're gone. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, God has removed our transgressions. That means to step over the line that God said, don't do it, and you did it anyway. He says, they are as far as the east is from the west. You've heard me quote that a million times, and you know what it means. You cannot calculate the distance, can you? No. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now, right this minute and forever, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. No judgment. Oh, yes, the Bema seat, but that's not a place to be judged for our sins. That's to be judged for what we didn't do and what we did do. Did we use the gifts that God gave us? Were we stewards over what God gave us? But our sins have been paid for. Jesus said in John 19:30, it is finished. It is completely finished, loved one. Thank God for that. Jesus, God laid upon Jesus our sin, and then he suffered the punishment of our sin, all for us. You better listen today. Listen to this word. The church is weak because they don't believe God's truth. They're weak. God doesn't love me. Stop it. God won't forgive me. That's from hell. That's the devil. Listen, you must starting in 2020, right even this moment, you must, if you're not, you must start seeing yourself as God Almighty, our Father, sees you. He sees you in Christ. Your forgiveness of sin, believe it or not, it doesn't depend upon you. It depended upon Jesus, who died for the sins of the world. Oh, the incredible riches of his grace, loved one. Listen, it would be wise for all of us to give the blood of Jesus Christ the same worth that God the Father gives it as well. Jesus redeemed you. He redeemed me. How far away are our sins? Listen to me. Romans 4:7. Blessed, that's a great word. Oh, how to be envied, or how fortunate, or oh, how happy. Blessed, Paul writes in Romans 4:7, are those whose lawless deeds, those are transgressions, lawless deeds are forgiven. There's that word. That word means blessed is the man whose lawless deeds or sins have been carried away. Carried away. They are in this, as Micah says, in the sea of eternal forgetfulness, loved one. He says, oh, he says, and whose sins are covered. The word covered doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to put something over, a little blood. No, no. They're canceled. They're canceled. That's what that word means. Not only that, blessed is the man to whom the Lord, listen carefully, shall not impute sin. What does that mean, never impute sin to? It means never take our sin and put it into our account. He has taken it out of our account. Amen? That's who you are in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43:25. I, God says, even I blot out your transgressions. And here's why. For my sake. You didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't have anything to do with it. It's all by divine grace. That's all. He says, I blot them out. He says, and I will not remember your sins. Praise the Lord. You remember. I remember. The devil remembers. God doesn't. You need to see yourself as God sees you. In him, we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, now listen carefully, according to the riches of his grace. I am unfit to teach this. Unfit. I do not have the intellect, the spiritual dynamic to say what that means. That is deeper than I know how to teach. It is deeper than I know how to ponder. But when I look at that, it says all of this has been done. Redemption, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The riches, not out of the riches of his grace. See, let's say, for example, that I was Warren Buffett, okay? Does Warren Buffett have any money? He ain't hurting. I mean, what is he? A zillionaire. But if he came to church today and dropped in $10, he would be giving out of his riches. But he was not giving his riches. Do you understand? Jesus, or the Lord God, he didn't just give us a little bit. He gave us everything. Do you understand? When it says, according to his riches of his grace, that, loved one, listen, that is incredible. Look in your Bible. Look at verse 6 with me of chapter 1. I want you to look at this. Ephesians 1:6. Watch this. To the praise of the glory of his what? There's that word. The glory of his grace. Not just grace. The glory of his grace. Look at verse 7. Him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiving of sins. Here it is again. According to the, not just grace, riches of his grace. Verse 8. Now, according to the riches of his grace, what happens? Watch. Which he made to what? Overflow. A lavish overflow. That word means superabound toward us who believe. My Lord. Look at verse 19 of chapter 1. What is the exceeding greatness, not just greatness, exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich, what is God rich in? His mercy. And because of his, not just his love, his great love. Look at Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:8, look at it. To me, Paul says, to him less than all, the least of the saints, this grace, this incredible, unbelievable, unmerited, undeserved grace of God, he says, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the what? Unsearchable. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Loved one, listen to me now. Glory. Riches of his grace. Exceeding riches of his grace. Unsearchable riches of his grace. Listen to me. God gives to us no other way. Do you understand? I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, listen, you know, my forgiveness. Listen now. I have full forgiveness. Not just partial. Not just I'm finally going to have forgiveness. I am, you are fully, completely forgiven in Christ Jesus. And the devil comes up to put fear on you. You're not going to make it. You're not really saved. You're not going to go to heaven. No, listen, he is a liar and the father of all liars. Are you listening to me? Oh, this grace, God gives no other way. God doesn't condone our sin. Of course not. No, Jesus is the propitiation. He satisfied the justice of God. He died for us in our place. So what does God do? And rather than dismiss our sin, he assumes it. That's grace. The riches of his grace. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is... Somebody has to die for the wages of sin. You won't have to. Jesus already did. The wages of sin is eternal death, eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. But the gift of God, the unsearchable riches of his grace, oh, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see what God is showing us in these chapters, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:10, it says, it pleased God to bruise him who knew no sin. It pleased him. It pleased God to make his son an offering for sin. He was bruised for our iniquities, our transgressions, and our sins, loved one. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Why? That you, that me, that the church, that believers might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You should get on your knees. I should get on my knees this morning when I read that verse. We should, it's sacred. It's holy ground. I look at that and I say, oh God, was made sin. What does that mean? It means that instead of God sentencing Bill Quinn, he sentenced himself for me, for you. God treated the one who knew no sin as if he sinned all the sins of the world. God treated him who knew no sin. He accredited to Jesus every sin that has ever been committed. Jesus died a death deserved only for sinners. That is God's incredible, unbelievable, the richness of his grace. Why? Well, that we would become justified, righteous in the eyes of God. There was a real death, love. There was a real suffering on that cross. There's a real tomb, a real resurrection. There was a real imputation. That means to take what belongs to another and give it to them. Jesus paid our sins, and God, what did he do? He took the perfect righteousness, sinless record, Everything that Jesus did pleased God the Father, and he imputed it, not imparted it. He brought it over and says, Bill, it's in your account now. You're just as if you had never sinned. When I see you as if you had walked perfectly, obediently, all of your life, never breaking a law. And everything you did pleased me because I see you in my Son who purchased you. Are you with me? That is doctrine. Yes, it is. It needs to be taught in the church today and not these feel-good messages that keep everybody entertained. You see, when I start getting well, I feel better. Not there yet, but I'm going to get there. Now my wife is in bed with it. That's right. We love each other. Listen, man, I thank God. There was a real transfer of my sin to Jesus. It really happened. And then there was that real transfer of his righteousness. You need to get that into your heart every time you have a wicked thought or whatever. You need to understand that no one can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he says in verse 8, he says, according to the riches of his grace, watch this now, which he made to what? Abound. That word means superabound. It means lavishly abound. What? God's grace, his riches, the riches of his grace. And who's the object of that? Us. It says toward us. And watch this. In all, literally in every kind of wisdom, in every kind of prudence, that word literally means understanding or insight. God wants you to understand the riches of his grace. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Or literally, he purposed this that he cherished in himself, his plan. Man, I look at that and I say, well, now wait a minute. We're blessed. We're chosen, adopted, accepted, redeemed, forgiven. And what does it say? Having made known to us, that's Paul, of course. That's the other apostles, of course. But now it's made known to us as well. Amen? What is that? That mystery. You know what a mystery is? Let me read the definition from the Greek Bible. It says, a mystery is a sacred secret, previously hidden, but now revealed to God's people. It's not discovered by man's intellect, but only by divine revelation. So what does it mean? It means that God has revealed what was unknown and is now known to you, the mystery. That means God just brought you into his inner circle. Amen? Do you understand? He says, I'm going to share this that I have kept, that I planned in eternity. I am going to share with you. I want you to have it. What is the mystery of his will? Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things. That means everything. In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Let me read the Phillips translation, then you'll get it a little better. For God has allowed us to know the secret of his plan, and it is this. He purposed long ago in his sovereign will that all human history should be consummated in Christ, that everything that exists in heaven or earth should find its perfection and fulfillment in him. What a glorious, incredible thing that is coming. Amen? Oh, listen, that's the second coming. That's the millennial reign or the thousand-year reign of Christ. That means that man, when Jesus comes, man's rule is going to be over forever and ever and ever and ever. It means that everything in heaven and everything on earth and everything that there is in the universe is going to be under the headship of Jesus Christ, and we are going to reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. That belongs to the church. That belongs to you. In that day, as the Bible says, it says it's going to come to pass that every knee will bow. Every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth. And they will confess, oh, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what's going to happen. Look at verse 11. And in him we have, that's a past tense, loved one. We have it right now. We've obtained an inheritance. Man. Being predestined according to the purpose of him, meaning God's plan, who works. I love that. It's God who works. Who works? God is the one who created the plan, and now he works his plan. Does that make sense? Yes. Who works all things according to the counsel of his will. The Bible says in Romans that we know that all things work together for good to those who love the God and the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You're called according to his purpose, loved one. I look at that and I say, oh Lord, now listen to me. The riches of his grace. You have been fully chosen in him. Not I've chosen. No. You have been fully chosen. You have been not just blessed. You have been fully blessed. You have been fully adopted as sons and daughters of God. Are you with me? See, the word fullness of times there, the word is plerol. Plerol. It means to the full. It's like if I had a glass of water and there's not another drop of water. If it did, it would overflow. Listen, the Bible says of his fullness we have all received. We've all received that. Oh, the incredible riches of his grace. We're not only fully adopted, we are fully accepted in Christ Jesus. Fully accepted. We are fully redeemed. We are fully forgiven because of the riches of his grace. And not only that, we just read it, in him, in Christ, we have been given an inheritance. Really, it means we have been made his inheritance. Think of that. His inheritance, loved one. We are the church. We're the bride of Christ. Oh, man, the body of Christ on this planet. We who were dead. When we get over to Ephesians chapter 2, we who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Not just, I mean, we went through the, we practiced life, but we didn't have life. Let's put it that way. We were dead. We couldn't welcome the things of God into our heart because we were natural, man. We were dead. And we were dead to and loved our sin and didn't even know it. Oh, no, we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to Satan. We were enemies of God, and we were hell-bound. And you know what he did? Apart from any of our own merit, the incredible riches of God. Christian, listen to me. We have been given the right to all the blessings of salvation Christ Jesus, and we can never, ever lose them, for they are all in him, and we are in him. Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:21, Paul says, don't brag or don't boast in men, and here's why. All things are yours. You're the richest people in the world. All things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the world, life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours. Listen to me now. Our incredible relationship with Jesus Christ determines our relationship to everything in this universe. Amen? God owns it all, and now we own it all as well. We belong to him. Since we belong to him, everything belongs to us as well. Do you see that? He said the world. Well, we own it. This world's passing away. We've got a brand new one coming, loved one. Yes, not only that, life. He says, life is yours. the source of life, the divine giver of life, Jesus Christ, he lives in you. Death, the last thing that we're ever going to experience. Jesus has abolished death, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And he goes on and he says, not only death, he says, things present. Things present. Whatever we're facing right now. We own you, man. You don't own me. I'm bought at a price. Things future. We don't have to worry about a thing. Not one thing. Why? All things belong to you. All things are yours. And he says, he goes on and he says, and you are Christ. You belong to Jesus. And Christ belongs to God. If you don't belong to Jesus, you know what? Nothing is yours. Nothing. Well, except one thing. At the end, the great white throne judgment. But there's one more thing, Christian, that's yours. Listen, there are many things, but just a few I can mention. Romans 8:17. And since your children are heirs, you're heirs of God. God is now our portion. We belong to God. He belongs to us, our Father. We're going to dwell with him in heaven. He says we're heirs of God. And not only that, we're joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ receives by divine right, we will receive by the riches, the exceeding riches, the unsearchable riches of his grace. Why? God gives no other way but abounding. Does that make sense? Where sin abounds, grace superabounds. Do you understand? Everything God just doesn't love. His great love. It's not just his mercy. It's the riches of his mercy. Everything he does explodes. It's better. It's greater. It's more full than anything else on this earth. And you have to see that in your own heart. Listen, Jesus cannot claim his inheritance apart from you. You're in him. We're co-heirs with him. Whatever he gets, he says, here it is, boys. We're all going to get an equal share. Equal. Not just a little piece. An equal share. All of it. Each and every one of us. And not only that, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:3, it says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to, here it comes now, not just mercy, abundant mercy. You see what I mean? It's, the incredible, unsearchable riches of his grace. Abundant, overflowing, lavish mercy has begotten us again, meaning we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here it comes. To an inheritance incorruptible, can never be defiled, incorruptible, can never perish, undefiled, never be contaminated, and does not fade away, can never grow old, reserved or literally guarded in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, and we're kept through the power of God, it says, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen. Our inheritance is not only promised, we already possess it. Right now. Heaven is our home. Do you know what the word kept means that I just said? It means to guard. It means to be taken through enemy territory by a divine escort, and that escort is God. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. He's going to get us through this world. He who began a good work in you will finish it. Amen? Yes. Listen. God says, you don't have to worry. Why are you being frightened about death? I'm guarding you. I'm guarding your salvation. I'm your rear guard. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I want you to know, God says that you, because I promised it and I cannot lie, you will arrive in heaven safely because you are under guard. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And then Paul closes out the work of the Son in verse 12. He says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now, maybe that means the Jews there, but it also means us as well. You know, loved one, listen, we need to wake up. You need to wake up, all of us. We have been fully blessed. We have, fully blessed, fully chosen, fully accepted, fully adopted, fully redeemed, fully forgiven in Him. How? By the exceeding, overflowing, abundant grace, the inexhaustible, unsearchable grace of the living God. Listen, God is not stingy. He always gives more. Do you understand that? When it says, when you ask for wisdom, He says, God, not a respecter of persons, He gives to all who ask liberally. He always gives you more. Why? He is God. God has given us His all. He's given us all of His love. He's given us all of His grace, all of His peace. Why? Because God can give no other way. No other way. Look at Ephesians 3:20. I know it's time to go, but just bear with me just a couple more verses. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Paul says, oh, now to Him who is able to do some things for us. Do you understand where I'm going now? Do you see it? God who does what? Oh, He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, for you and for me, that anything that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Romans 8:32, it says, He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? All things. All things. All things belong to you. But you know what? You have to believe that. You have to claim that. You have to own it because God says, I did it for you. Amen? The work of the Father, the work of the Son. Listen, the Bible says, the psalmist has written that God daily, today's a day, daily loads us with benefits. Every day. I look at this and I say, oh Lord, You're so good. Jesus said, I have come that you might have just life. Do you see where I'm going? Do you see it? Everything He does is greater and greater and greater. Why are we walking around like we're not going to make it? Or like we're weak little church and I can't witness. Oh, stop that. I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. You have the unsearchable, unbelievable, exceeding riches of God's unmerited favor resting on you right now. Claim what is yours. Jesus said, I've come that you might have not just life, but you might have life super abundantly. But the devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Father, I thank You for Your word, Your truth, Your divine truth. I thank You for doctrine. I thank You, Lord, for doctrine. Oh, praise the Lord, that we know who we are in You and all that You have done for us. And I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're just a Jesus namer, you're in trouble. His grace has enabled you to be a Jesus follower. Maybe you need to get right God right now. If that is you, and you say, Bill, I want to get right because I just need to get right. Don't let anyone look around. Let everybody be praying. Why don't you just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me, and put it right back down. You don't have to come to the altar, any of those things. Just say, Bill, I'm not right and I want to get right. Yes, God bless you. That's right. I just want to get right. I want to get right with God. I want to experience all that He's given unto me. I want to experience the exceeding greatness of His grace. Lord, You see who lifted their hands. You know every heart. You hear them praying right now. Touch them. Touch them, Lord. For You have already blessed them. We love You. We praise You. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? I see you could have gone to the Fort Worth Stock Show this morning. You know what I mean?